I am. How do I unshare? Stop share. Just hit that. Okay.
You unshare it. You just like take the knowledge out of our heads.
You don't get to know the time. You don't get to know anything on episode 205 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on November 14th, 2022. I had a whole series of introductions, questions, all of that stuff for Andrew, Ryan, and myself. But I think it's more important that I introduce today's surprise guest joining us once again. And currently holding me at gunpoint, it's 538's Fivey the Fox.
Oh, what's up, you motherfuckers? Fivey wasn't prepped for this appearance, so he's gonna really let you guys have it. You pieces of shit.
The red wave didn't happen. Things are getting bad up here. The office is a little on edge.
Muhammad Ali shouldn't have run. He was my opioid hookup, and now Fivey's getting a little crazy.
Fivey, what do you mean? Once a politician enters office, they stop committing crimes? Is that your stance?
In accordance with the law, pretty much.
Wow, Fivey, you have a very optimistic view of the American political elite.
Well, if you think about crime as only something that happens if convictions are upheld, then yes. The act of doing something illegal and committing a crime are two separate things.
That's interesting, Fivey. So, officially, Congress people are not providing you with illicit substances. But, in reality...
You can't bring me down, motherfucker! Fivey's never gonna stop doing opium.
Wow, that's an interesting 14th century drug, Fivey.
This is
it. Never should have made it illegal.
This is you.
Fivey's
on
a libertarian, canonically.
That's true. That is true, Fivey. You are nothing if not consistent.
This is you on opium, one of the most Fivey.
No, this is me off of opium.
Wait, but I thought that you were still off the books getting some drugs.
What the fuck you're talking about?
The
fans are listening.
The contradictions are piling up, Fivey. I don't know.
There are things going on in my life outside of this podcast that might mean that more people are hopefully tuning into this podcast. And if this is where you started, I am envious of you. This is fantastic. That was an excuse to talk about the 2022 midterm elections, which went better than I think progressives, Democrats could have hoped for, were expecting. Where are you guys at?
I mean, beat
every single projection possible, essentially. Like
it
really seemed like 100% the House was a complete and utter lost cause, and the Senate was an absolute toss-up. And now here we are, the Senate has been taken without a Georgia runoff, and the House is still fucking in play, like solidly.
Yeah,
kind of. Who knows at this point? It's pretty even.
It still definitely looks like the House is going to be a narrow Republican majority, but not. You know, they were expecting it to just be a landslide,
right? And I think
like you said, it is a toss up. Like,
yeah, it's not over.
It's in play. Yeah.
Also, one element of the House that I think a lot of people forget, kind of a weird, most known secret in politics. Frequently, representatives will not show up. They'll miss votes, and they can't vote absentee. So if someone is sick or dies in office, which frequently happens, that can cause big swings in session-to-session voting. So, even that it's close means that a lot of fuckery could happen.
And just like faithless political actors that just are like, oh, these Democrats promised me an infrastructure project. If I vote with them on this crucial bill, maybe I'll flip and say, fuck it. Like, and risk the ire of the Republican Party. Like the opening of House of Cards, Frank Underwood is a whip. Like, he's the House Whip. His job is to keep his party in line and actually voting with his party. Like, it's a very important job in the House, because you've got fucking 220 odd maniacs that you have to keep in line and actually towing, like, the party's ideas. So, yeah, I don't know. It's wild shit.
Tony Evers won in Wisconsin, somewhat handedly, which is fantastic, because things would get real bad for a lot of marginalized people if the Republican became governor there again.
Are you talking about my good buddy Tim Michaels?
Andrew's best friend.
Fellow
Green Bay Packer enjoyer, Tim Michaels.
bailing in the third quarter like a true Packer fan.
That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, do you know if the LA mayor election was called for Bass formally yet?
It's not called yet, but Bass pulled ahead, and like the ballots that are left are essentially like predominantly mail-in that are they've been skewed towards Bass so far. So I don't think it's called officially, but yeah, it looks like it's pretty much going to be Bass, which is better.
Yay!
I feel a little Hillary versus Trump energy with that race.
Yeah. But
I guess I'll take Hillary. God.
God, even the gall of Rick Caruso running as a Democrat is fucking... labels. Labels.
At least he phased it out slowly, unlike plenty of California quote-unquote Democrats. Like, he was a Republican for 40 years, and then he was like, I don't know, I don't know what I am. I'm an independent in, like, 2012. And then after, like, 10 years of being an independent, he's like, you know what? I'm a Democrat now. You know what, guys? Democrats, pretty cool with me. So, I guess he at least, like, if everyone on planet Earth acted in good faith, I could see that transformation actually happening in a human being. Obviously, it didn't happen with like a borderline billionaire real estate developer, but I guess it's marginally better. But no, he's going to clean up homelessness
by
doing things.
Yeah, my favorite thing is everyone's always like, we have to stop the homelessness problem. And they're like, oh, you mean like make it so that people aren't homeless? No.
No,
it's just push them somewhere else. It's make sure they aren't able to be here.
And in the case of LA, that's nowhere. There is nowhere
else. Yeah.
We are surrounded by wilderness and desert. Like, there is nowhere else. Oh, yeah, we can push them into the ocean. Like, they could live in the Pacific garbage patch. That's
it's dense enough now.
Yeah. The last frontier.
Some want to go to Mars. I want to colonize the Pacific garbage patch. Think of all the resources we would have.
Plastic.
Yeah, that's petroleum, baby.
I'm mining plastic.
Yeah, why not?
Mr. President, we've discovered oil on the garbage island.
Years and years of garbage pileup has somehow exacerbated the effect of creating fucking natural oil.
The immense pressure from the tidal forces of the ocean caused the plastic to melt back down into oil.
We could,
from whence it came.
Like, the movie 2012 has some, like, absolute garbage pseudoscience weirdness to, like, justify the events of the movie. We could write an equivalent script about, because of climate change, the tidal forces have actually increased exponentially, allowing unimaginable pressure and forces on the Pacific garbage patch. And it is now the most lucrative area on the planet.
Half of it oil, the other half diamonds.
No, I don't fucking know how that happened, man.
There was some carbon. There was carbon along with the plastic.
People are throwing away fucking old chicken bones, and it's it's there, baby. It's diamonds now. All the Saudi royal family I laugh in their face at the first man to take over the Pacific garbage patch.
I don't know. Yeah. And maybe something more broadly to bring up in regards to the 2022 midterm election. A lot of Trump adjacent, a lot of fascist leaning Republicans were running in various states. Obviously, a number of them won, which is not great. But I don't know. Yeah, I think this is fairly optimistic, but a lot of people are interpreting the results of this election as a rejection of the rise of fascism in the U.S. Do you guys yay or nay on that?
I think that it's not that. Like, this is clearly a like all the bullshit like white boy takes of like, I don't know, like the midterm elections are fascinating because it's really a mandate on the direction of the country over the next decade. And it's just like, what the fuck you? Like, no. Like, at the end of the day, elections come down to candidates, you know? Like, I view this more as like Hillary Clinton being a like generationally bad candidate. Like, the fact that she was able to lose, obviously there's a lot of misogyny and other issues at play there, but like, damn, she really was not it. Like, the Democratic Party boxing out Bernie Sanders and other perfectly legitimate presidential candidates in favor of her turn Hillary Clinton, like, yeah, bro, that was an all-time bag fumble. And the Democrats have a lot of bag fumbles in their history.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's, that's saying something.
They had a free ride to an 8-year president term there with Trump taking over the Republican Party temporarily. And instead, they decided, what if? What if we blew it?
And then the last question I want to pose to y'all. This is the hottest take I have seen in regards to this election. Is this maybe a consequence of COVID? Maybe the Republican base
dying?
Yeah. At an exacerbated rate because of COVID. Like, I'm not saying every Republican over the age of 65 died because of COVID over the course of the last 3 years, but I think the numbers show that man, that did that disproportionately did a number on that group of people.
I mean, I just don't think that there were enough dead people to significantly shift the demographic makeup of the voting populace. I think it's more about voter turnout. It sounds like young people and single women voted a lot more than they had in the past. And some of that is like what you're talking about with like the rejection of fascism and stuff like that. But like I said, a lot of it comes down to single issues. The abortion issue caused a lot of people to be like, maybe I should take this more seriously.
Right. These rights at stake are not like hypothetical. These are very
things could get very bad for me and a lot of people that I know. So maybe I should try to like do my part and do something about it.
Right. And as we found over and over, easing access to voting shifts everything to the left. Like, allowing everyone to vote, including disenfranchised people, generally shifts things to the left. And that's why Republicans fight tooth and nail against any vote by mail initiative, against any like ballot drop box or early voting initiative. Like, because the less people vote, the more it skews to the right, because the people who are voting for Republicans are people who have nothing better to do on a Tuesday than go wait in line for an hour and fucking drop off their ballot. Like, that's as mail-in voting increases. Yeah. Like, that's why when Republicans say like, oh, if we allow more mail-in voting, a Republican will never get elected again. And it's like, I think you need to analyze your policy. If you're going to not
people
be able
don't
to
like
win an
us
election.
And that's an issue of freedom of speech. Like,
yeah, no, like we are an unelectable party and that's why we need to suppress votes instead of just changing our positions on issues and becoming better.
I think it is. Yeah. And like, that's tying into, it's pretty under discussed that like Trump didn't win the popular vote. Like,
right.
And that's, He's hailed as the, oh yeah, this type of guy, these policies, this is the face of the Republican Party going forward. They couldn't even get the majority of votes. Like, that only happened because the Electoral College is undemocratic. And,
Republicans only won the popular vote once in, what, last 30 years at this point? It was at least 25 years.
Like,
George Bush the first time didn't win the popular vote. No, second time he did. But that's the only one that a Republican's won in the last, since fucking HW, right?
Yeah,
right.
Biden, like, it's been Obama 30 years. Both times, Bill Clinton both times. You know, they all won the popular vote.
It has literally been 30 years. It's 92 HW. That's the last. It's a fucking nightmare for the Republicans. Like, it's an absolute sham, 100%.
And it really is kind of an indictment of the Democratic Party that they cannot
suck so bad.
Capitalize on that. Yeah, they are so much more popular than the Republican candidates, and still they can't figure their shit out.
I will also say, like, if you look at trends, and Fox News brings it up in, like, hilarious clips where they show by age demographic, and under 40 voters are like 73% lean Democrat or strong Democrat. Like, it's a laughable amount of people. And, like, if you look at population dynamics over time since the parties kind of switched positions in, like, World War I-ish, you know, like, right around there, like, it's never been this extreme. Like, young people are, like, Republicans have, like, fucked around, and they are finding out. Like, they've been constantly keeping people in poverty, like, just on that precipice, but, like, trying to, like, shift their blame onto, like, illegal immigrants and everything like that. But, like, with the modern era, with the internet and the infrastructure that we have, they struggle at that nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of found out where now I don't think an entire not even single generation. At this point, we've got millennials and Zoomers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone in the, like, that, those generations are never going to flip. People talk about, like, how when you age, you get more conservative. But, like, at the same time, the Republican Party as it exists isn't just conservative. Like,
it's got other shit going on.
Yeah, it's far, far right. And no one in, like, the millennial and Zoomer generation is never going to en masse vote for Republicans.
Yeah, so, even if those people change their policies and go, like, now that I'm a homeowner, I don't like taxes as much. Like, they're never going to then vote for the guy who's like, taxes are bad and we should get rid of the immigrants.
Right. Like, there's going to be some moderate Democrat who's like, you know what? I don't need to raise any more taxes. But also, like, human rights are real. You know, like, the Democrats love that fucking candidate. So those will be the guys that win if that actually happens and people don't just stay socialist for their entire life.
We'll switch to the Democratic Party. You know, this is blue sky sort of projections. Like, the Democratic Party becomes the conservative party and their policies don't really change. And then, like, a leftist socialist party, like, actually exists.
And the Republicans
in, like,
become
years.
Socialists.
No.
They, like, do a hard flip, baby. They're like, all right, you motherfuckers. Fox News is now fucking Al Jazeera.
Okay, so we had the Southern. We had the Southern strategy. What would this one be called? The femboy strategy.
Oh fuck yeah, dude! Republicans are just, like, getting overnight. Someone high up in the Republican Party is just like,
it's over. We're switching. Right.
Yeah, no, we're doing it. We're fucking doing it.
Gay party.
Yeah, no, I don't give a fuck. We are going to start trashing Democrats for the right reasons, and we're going to be the most lit party of all time. Oh, man.
I mean, listen, a not insignificant number of Republicans are pretty open to a very specific, let's say, nationalistic interpretation of socialism. So it could happen.
It's not how this works at all. No, I mean, like, look, there's plenty of clips of, like, Jordan Klepper and the likes talking to Republicans on the ground and getting them to agree with a lot of tenets of leftist politics. Right. Because if you don't use the buzzwords, people don't know what you're saying, and they hear everyone deserves health care and they shouldn't deserve to die because they can't afford it. And they're like, yeah,
of course.
That's correct. And then you're like, so one party does not agree with that statement, and that's the party that you're voting for.
And I think I realize in hindsight now, growing up in a pretty conservative area, Like, yeah, of course, there were some people who were just Fox News brainwashed, but a lot of people who were Republican identifying, it was like a single issue thing. Like, they yeah. recognized that, yeah. like, hey, healthcare stuff needs to change. Criminalization, crime, prisons in America needs to change broadly. But, like, Democrats will take my guns. So, like, fuck all of that. That is the only thing I care about.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, guns. And then, I mean, like, just like every other, you know, battleground and or conservative county in the country, it's guns and abortion. And now, you know, immigration and elections and cops and shit like that. But
gun rights and socialism, there's a lot of history there. There's plenty of socialists that are very pro-gun.
Yeah.
In a way that might surprise you. So...
I get
The reason when people say don't tread on me and they say come take this gun from my cold dead hands, that's what socialists actually did. They actually said, come fucking take my guns. I will kill the government over it.
You know,
it.
The whole notion
shit.
Of like, you know, we need to keep guns so we can protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. Socialists are just taking it one step further. Like,
yeah.
We need guns so that we can overthrow the tyrannical government.
Right. And if it wasn't backed by the United States, it would have succeeded. But because we were like, nah, fam, socialism and communism are evil, so we must keep these despotic dictators who kill millions of people in power. Yeah.
Just show his... Get historic Republican voters to listen to RTJ to dem-pill them subtly. Hey,
dem-pill.
Killer Mike! Yeah, wait. No! Like, pretty progressive policies, also cool with guns. He's one of the blue guys.
Okay, Killer Mike is not, like, the epitome of leftist politics.
Epitome?
Yeah, I know. I know how to pronounce that word. I say it wrong all the time.
It's because you read it. Yeah, I've a million words. But yeah, no, like plenty of people on the far left are pretty pro-gun. And I'm not saying that I necessarily agree or disagree with that, but like...
Their logic makes a little more sense.
Right, like the logic tracks. The logic 100% tracks, and it doesn't for people on the far authoritarian right. Like... Daddy government will take care of you. You don't need guns. They would never do anything to harm you. Weird.
Yeah. We also got plenty of weird stuff to talk about in News of the Week. The 2022 Game Award nominees dropped today. And I linked to the IGN article summarizing them because the website hosted... produced by the Game Awards people is still just not fun, just not conducive to use at any capacity.
Jeff Keighley, what are you doing? He's the Game Awards guy? I don't remember.
Yes, yes.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, he's taking that Vice TV money and running with it.
And making shitty websites.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see that you have a note in here about, like, I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I just gotta say this. You're saying Ashley Birch getting best performance for Horizon Forbidden West might be the only win that game sees. She's not winning. Like, I love that game, but it was kind of like preordained that Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok were going to be the two heavy hitters in this class, and people love both of them. Like, both of them have supposedly lived up to the hype that people were expecting. And they're, you know, God of War Ragnarok is a very narrative focused game, you know, much like Horizon Forbidden West. But, like, though, you know, Christopher Judge is going to win, I'm sure. I haven't seen any cutscenes from that game. I think it's just kind of like a decided thing that they're going to win.
Like, look, you like the game, but didn't people kind of shit on a lot of the performance? Like, not necessarily hers, but like...
In the first game, absolutely. I think it was definitely, like, scaled up a bit in the second game. The performances were a lot better. Part of that was that, like, mo-capping is a thing in this game now. It wasn't in the first one.
They didn't do performance capture in the first game? That seems...
No.
Very 2010 of them.
They didn't have the budget. It was a lot lower budget than... people expect, but
was
like,
really?
So the performances are a little bit more believable because there's facial expressions.
What was the budget of $45 million? It was God of War.
In Horizon Zero Dawn?
What was God of War's 2018's budget? No, it's the same. Same fucking budget. What? 45 million, or 45 million pounds for Horizon Zero Dawn, $44 million for God of War. Oh, no, now they're saying 80. Okay, so maybe not. Oh,
okay.
That might be a different God of War game.
So my only counter argument to your point, Andrew, is that, and I'm researching this right now, I believe Christopher Judge won best performance for the original, but not original God of War 2018.
The OG.
And between the combination of there being an audience participation factor in this voting and then judges, I think it goes to Horizon Forbidden West as a kind of the factor of judge already winning, and that I think most people haven't played the other games listed in this category.
The MVP fatigue angle.
A little bit, like, yeah.
Nikola Jokic is going to have to average 40 points and 20 rebounds to win MVP this year, because he won back-to-back years, and to win a third time, he'd have to be way better than he was.
Mm.
It's kind of not fair, but that's how it works.
Yeah, that is how it works. And I'm not trying to like shit on Elden Ring or God of War by saying it's like kind of preordained. People really like these games. Like,
right.
And I assume there's a reason for that. With Elden Ring, like, I get it because I've played it. I haven't played God of War, but like, as much as I liked Horizon Forbidden West, it did not get the same kind of response that these games are getting.
You're hitting on a truth in this that I'd like to bring up. Of course you haven't played God of War Ragnarok. It's been out for a week. And the fact that it has such presence in this nomination sheet is kind of an indictment of, God, just the clown assness of the Game Awards. Is that an expression? I was going to say clown shoes, but clown ass feels more appropriate.
I mean, people were having debates in comment sections the whole year about how God of War was going to be better than Elden Ring, or at least as good. And the game was 7 months away from releasing. No one had played it or even seen gameplay of it at that point. It was just kind of like a known entity to a lot of people. So,
yeah.
What can you do?
Going through my stray thoughts, though, and I'd love to hear your guys' hot takes if you have any. Elden Ring, absolutely going to win Game of the Year. Ragnarok probably takes Best Narrative as a compromise. The fact that Elden Ring is nominated for Best Narrative is... I like that game.
That's what does not Andrew think about
what
that?
A narrative is. Like, that is just further proof that whoever came up with the Game Awards was like, we can't just say Best Story, because that sounds lame and not like classy like the Game Awards should be. Let's call it Best Narrative, but it's absolutely just like, is why you're doing this stuff in this game cool? I don't fucking nah. I'm
yeah,
upset.
I agree. Like, Elden Ring does not have a narrative. There is no narrative structure. There's just a built world, and that's cool.
There are themes. There are vibes. They're fantastic.
Best vibes.
Yeah, I know.
Best vibes. That needs to be a category. Best vibes.
Then
Minecraft needs to be nominated every year, if you ask me.
Oh my god, yes.
Some immaculate vibes in Minecraft when you get that piano music kicking in. I don't know.
Scorn should absolutely get best art direction. If you guys are listeners
Scorn's
unaware.
Gross. Like,
yeah,
that
dude.
Game's fucking disgusting. I hate it.
Fuck yeah, I love it. That is the very H.R. Geiger inspired horror puzzle adventure game. Everything's made out of meat. It's terrible. I love it. There is a lot of neon white love in these nominees, but it not being nominated for anything music audio related is a travesty, especially after Guardians of the Galaxy won best score last year with licensed music.
That is hilarious.
That's
so funny.
They got the electronica, the hardcore, the industrial band Machine Girl to do the music to Neon White, like totally original score, and that's by the standards set at previous game awards, this should be included, I think. Talked about Ashley Birch. Indie games are showing up in a big way this year. Are the categories specifically for indie games seem to be the most competitive. I hope Neon White wins Best Indie, but that really seems like a crapshoot. And that makes sense with how few AAA games there have been this year. Really curious to see what the most anticipated game will be now that Elden Ring is finally released and can't win for 3 years in a row anymore. And this new category, Best Video Game Adaptation, fuck you, Game Awards. We're not here to talk about movies. We're here to talk about video games.
Yeah,
and movies.
The thought that the Uncharted movie could win anything is physically repulsive to me.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2? That's not a... I've watched the Cuphead show. It's not it. It's really not it.
It's probably going to be Cyberpunk painful. Edgerunners, and I stand by my original tweet. No amount of anime will get me to play Cyberpunk. It's not happening.
I think Arcane was doing
really well. I've heard good things about it. Yeah. It was really well received. It's just, it came out like almost a year ago.
Right.
But I feel like the League of Legends crowd is just bigger than the Cyberpunk anime crowd at the end of the day. Like, and I think they're going to put it over the edge.
Yeah, this is probably, Arcane or Cyberpunk, I think I'm leaning towards either of those winning. If only because they really nail the rubber hose animation with Cuphead, I kind of hope that one pulls out, but...
Have you ever watched it?
Yeah!
You liked Cuphead?
I like parts of it.
That shit was awful. Like, this...
Wow.
Yeah, the character design is fun, and the animation's great, but like, this... Like, they're, oh my, dude, it's asinine. Like, the storylines are utter garbage.
Lucas doesn't care about narrative.
I guess. I don't care about narrative in a game. Like, the Cuphead game didn't have, like, oh, a fucking groundbreaking narrative. No, like, it was all about the art style and everything like that. But no, when it comes to, like, a TV show and you're not actively participating in it, I expect, like, something. I expect... like gags and goofs and jokes to like land and be good. I don't know. It was rough.
Ryan putting out bowl boy vibes. Okay.
Fair. Vibes are definitely more important to Lucas than story structure, and that's okay. That's not a dig. It's just an observation.
Okay. Well, you guys have already listed your disagreements with my hot takes, perusing through this. Any insights, any opinions, any predictions?
As the fifth game that I've played this year, I cannot believe that Arcadageddon was not nominated.
Oh my god.
Did that come out this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
We played it. And boy. FIFA 23 for best sports game. It's not gonna win. It wins my personal list for enjoyable sports gaming experience that isn't fully reliant on making your own fun. It's probably me Gran Turismo though, right? That's like the only good game.
People seem to like Ollie Ollie World. I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that game.
It's like a skateboarding thing or skateboard related.
Boo. No, I don't know. Maybe it's good.
So like, on principle, Elden Ring probably shouldn't win Best Audio Design because a lot of the sounds in that game are the same sounds that have been in all From Software's Dark Souls adjacent games.
Yeah, it's because Elden Ring is just big Dark Souls.
Big.
But, dude, that sound effect when you hit that parry, though, that sound effect when you land a critical hit.
The same sound effect that's been around for 15 years.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 should get it then for that sound when you hit a fucking quick scope and you get the hit marker. Like that. Yeah. Give it best sound design for the hit marker sound.
I am terrible that I have not played any of the Games for Impact games. I don't think I recognize any of them. I've heard of Citizen Sleeper. I've heard of that one at least, but
I haven't heard any of those.
Not sure otherwise.
Most anticipated's gotta be Zelda, right?
I would give any other game that's deserving.
Mm-hmm. They're saying Final Fantasy 16, and like, sure, for a certain crowd, but like,
what? Yeah, not Hogwarts Legacy.
Final Fantasy 16 got some bad PR lately. I don't think that's winning.
No, damn.
Yeah,
I've heard of Starfield. That's like the Bethesda one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Resident Evil 4, no fucking way. And yeah, nah. Hogwarts, like, come on. these are Game Awards for real gamers, right? This isn't
right.
Fucking JK Rowling, I don't know, shitty RPG game.
Yeah. All right. That's the Game Awards. Looking forward to watching that and being very upset by it. Because I always am. But of course, I'd just like to remind everyone listening to this all of this is totally fucking bogus. Only the voluntary viewing 2022 top 10s will determine which 10 video games are actually the best from this year, along with 10 best TV shows and 10 best movies. Check that out.
It will be definitive. We gotta start planning
that. Holy shit.
Yeah, I gotta start going into hyper mode of watching 2022 stuff.
Yeah, it's a good excuse, right? On some level.
Yeah. Nah.
We got something on TV. What's going on here?
Whoa. Y'all remember the greatest YouTube miniseries ever made, Game of Zones?
Yes.
Absolute fucking travesty that it ended, especially with some of the great drama from last NBA season that unfortunately wouldn't ever be included. The brothers who made that show are making a show for Fox about what would happen if two random dudes like lived in a town that like had universal basic income for everyone and you didn't have to work and the fucking hijinks that you'd get up to.
Is this going to be like anti-basic income slander?
I feel like their politics have been out there. Like, I don't think that it will be. I think it's just going to be an excuse for them to not work at all and like a vague setting that like no one in the town really works and stuff. If you read the description, I guess the town was like a single industry town. There was a giant hot dog factory in the town that is now fully automated. And I don't know if like the town has ownership of the factory or something, but yeah, they just start a universal basic income program where everyone in every citizen of the town gets $3,000 a month. And
there's absolutely going to be a subplot or a one-off joke about how characters in this town, probably two brothers, are creating a narrative focused comedy YouTube animated series based on the events of the NBA.
Oh, God. It's going to Ouroboros itself.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Sounds fun. Sounds like Phineas and Ferb adult version. Like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
What if we had nothing to do and no responsibilities?
Like, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Just like, let's get up to some fucking hijinks. Let's do some crazy shit. We don't got to worry about jobs or deadlines or anything.
Yeah.
Great.
Any timestamp on when that's coming out?
No, it's probably with animation cycles. I imagine it'll be probably next year.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Some point in late 2023 or early 2024.
Hey, Fox keeping animation alive at least. That's fun.
They are.
Hey,
in spite of horrific numbers, but yes, they are.
Speaking of numbers, 10-year-old Ash Ketchum wins first world championship of his 25-year career.
Wasn't there something like a couple years ago where like this exact same thing happened?
Yes. Like,
oh my God, Ash finally won a world championship. Why is it happening again?
That was at a regional level. So think of the difference between winning the Euro Cup versus winning the World Cup. That's what happened here.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know where the Pokemon anime goes from here. Hopefully they retire Ash, who is rapidly approaching the age of 11. by the sound of it.
That's over the hill, baby.
No, we gotta get him out of here. We do Twilight years.
Is this Ash's team? What a fucking
yes.
Nightmare team. What the hell? What's the comp?
There's no meta here.
What?
There's no meta at all.
I don't even know the one in the upper left. What is that?
These
are all like Gen 1 or 2, and then there's like that one dude from the... Actually, I guess there's a couple that are newer.
That's Dracovish. Dracovish. That's a fucked up dinosaur that is an affront to God.
Steiner.
Grevchenko.
All must die.
And then there's the dude with the leak. He's not Gen 1 either.
Evolution.
Oh, is he? Is Farfetch? Yeah.
So this is last generation with new games upcoming. This is Farfetch. Farfetch? I can't say that. New evolution. Surfetch.
Farfetcheth.
Yeah.
And then that's the dog one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that one is. That one's around two. And then Pikachu, Gengar, and Dragonite. What the?
Gengar, top five Pokemon.
Apparently. What the fuck?
I'm a fan.
Gengar's a bad guy. Gengar's a literal bad guy. I don't care what anyone says.
Also, Gengar's a villain. Like sentient and can speak English. Like
all Pokemon can speak
English. They can say their name.
Yeah.
No, I mean like Lucario. Like wasn't that like a whole thing? He's not like other Pokemon. He's just a person.
There's a decent amount of Pokemon that can speak English in the anime. I think.
I think Lapras just has telepathy. Yeah.
Mouth. Has a fucking mouth on him. He's fucking Deadpool over there, like cracking wise all the time.
Upper Brooklyn, come on.
Yeah.
Go Mets. Meowth's catchphrase. Go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Go Mets. Come on. Let's go Mets.
Get a home run. Mets. I am a tool and teared up watching the very nostalgia bait 11-minute clip of the fight on YouTube. Pikachu just has a full-on I didn't hear no bell moment, and that's pretty great.
Like the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
I didn't hear no bell.
Not fraudulent. We beat our old coach. That's a moral victory.
So, like, I know a lot of people prevent Pikachu from evolving, mm-hmm. but is that, like, actual meta, or is that just for, like, fucking nostalgia?
Yeah, that's nostalgia.
Okay.
Because Raichu is better than Pikachu, right?
Depending on what you're trying to do, usually yes, especially with Raichu's new Alolan form. Raichu fits into more strategies than Pikachu does by and large.
But Raichu's slower, right? Like, Pikachu's ridiculously fast,
no.
I thought. No. Nuh-uh. No, it's not even that. Okay.
No, I think Raichu has better base stats all around.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking weird shit. So wow. Ash is not meta. Ash is... But I guess that would kind of fit with, like, bullshit storylines, right? Like, oh, he makes his team based on who he loves. And, like, that's... They're scrappy underdogs. He doesn't do any science.
And that's why he kept fucking losing for 25 years. He played the cute Pokemon.
Yeah. Save that shit for the Baby Cup. An actual mode in Pokemon tournaments. An actual division.
I mean, what the fuck, Ash? Like, you didn't just get your starter Pokemon and then over-level them and steamroll the entire game and not have to take a single full revive because you're one-hitting every single Pokemon in the Elite Four?
He did that, but his starter is Pikachu, which, as we've established, not viable in the current meta, in the current comp.
Hmm. Yeah, put Ash against, like, the actual, like, pro fucking Pokemon players in this world that are looking at EVs and, like, hatching these crazy-ass overpowered eggs and shit. Like, just getting absolutely ruthlessly stomped.
Is there, like, the new games coming out, like, are those, like, canon within the Pokemon universe? Or are they just, like, man, it's crazy how, like, in the last 10 years we've discovered 90% of all Pokemon that now exist. That's just... Man, there were so few before. Now there's hundreds of them.
It's crazy that, like, oh, man. This ice cream cone was actually a Pokemon all along, and we were just eating it. Like, damn.
I mean, I'm not going to stop, but.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, it is delicious, so.
My favorite is when type changes happen, like between Gen 1 and 2, because Steel type didn't exist, they just decided, yeah, Magnemite, Magneton, they're Steel type now. And like, wow, Pokemon professors never realized that these magnets really don't like being punched or fire. Like they couldn't, all right, whatever, fair.
Yeah, yeah. Pokemon professors, fucking dumbasses.
They're sending 10-year-olds out to do their job for them.
So they could fuck the 10-year-olds' moms.
Probably.
And that is canon.
Yeah.
It's policy.
Mm. It's policy. Find a mom of a 10-year-old whose father or whose husband has mysteriously just doesn't exist, really.
May I ask about that?
Yeah, we don't really talk about that
it's
at
complicated.
All. Complicated. Yeah. Mm. Have her convince her son to allow her to, like, hoard his money, his earnings. Every once in a while she'll buy some random bullshit, but in reality we all know where that money's going. Right up to that Pokemon professor. I mean, those starters that the professor gives the 10-year-old are probably like invaluable, right? Like they are beyond value because they are one of a kind.
You can't get them anywhere else.
Yeah.
Oh wait, is that a thing? In Pokemon?
Yeah.
I've never played.
Yeah. No, starters you can't catch.
Oh.
Right.
So are they like synthesized in a lab? Are they like Pokemon?
No, they're like ultra rare is the idea, yeah. I think. And because he's a professor, he's like, oh, I found this ridiculously rare Pokemon.
You can have it.
Yeah. Mm. You and like my nephew or whoever the rival is.
I'm going to fuck
version.
The value of this Pokemon out of your mom.
Yeah.
Hey, man. No. Hey man, here's a pretty rare Pokemon. Can you just go outside? Can you just like play with that thing for a while? Gotta do that.
That'll keep him busy for days.
Yeah,
shuts the blinds.
Does your mom have like anyone you call uncle coming around? Here's a Pokemon. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, there's gyms over there. Why don't you go? Just like live there for the rest of like the next few months. That'd be great.
Mm.
Yeah. No, he's like when you go to a theme park or something and you pay $15 for a refillable souvenir cup and you're getting the value out of that souvenir cup. Like, you are filling that thing at every single moment to try to get as much of your money's worth as you can. That's Professor Oak with your mom just absolutely going back to that ATM at every single opportunity. To just get the maximum value. He could have sold that Pokemon on the black market for millions and never worked a day in his life. But that's what it's worth to him. Goddamn.
That's a rogue. The ultimate gilf.
That's a real one.
Mm. Musk is already making the Twitter experience worse. A new secondary verification connotation launched on Wednesday and was removed after only a few hours. Twitter's fucky now.
I mean, that was unironically some of the best Twitter we've ever seen.
There's been some great. Yeah, Twitter is kind of at a peak right now.
Do you guys see the one where I forget the name of the company, Lily something?
Eli Lilly. Yeah.
Eli Lilly that manufactures insulin and a fake account that paid for the checkmark said insulin is free now and their stock just plummeted.
Uh-huh. And then they had to put out a statement saying, like, hey, guys, insulin's not free. We promise we'll still keep charging the regular amount for it. Just like being like, hey, guys, don't worry. We are still gouging you on a necessary life-saving drug. There were a lot of those. I saw one where, you know, there was a parody account that paid for the checkmark, said some bad shit. And then a separate parody account that also paid for the checkmark put out a fake apology for that tweet that someone else did, but then said a bunch of fucked up shit in the apology.
It
was so good. Doja Cat, like, personally clowned on Musk.
I did see that. That was pretty great. Musk was like, oh, well, I could be cool and talk to Doja Cat and help her out. And then she's like, get fucked. Oh, man.
I there has been a lot of hyperbolic conversation, though, on Twitter about how, well, this is it. We're done. The platform is gone. It's going to blow up. Everybody get out of here. Figure out where you're going. And realistically, that's not how this is going to play out. Like, this is going to be a slow bleed, consistent but slow bleed, because that's just, yeah, how social media platforms wind down nowadays. I know Tumblr was a little weird since that was more of a fundamental change to what the platform is about, but Twitter's going to be around until what basic functionality doesn't work. Or I guess Musk could just decide no porn on Twitter either.
He did say that's
not the same as Tumblr, though, right? Like, I don't think there's that many people coming to Twitter exclusively for porn.
Oh, buddy.
No, different kind of Twitter. You cannot convince me that that's the majority of users like Tumblr.
There are plenty of people, Lucas. There are plenty of people that do, I guess, really enjoy like the porn aspects of Twitter, but that's not what Twitter is. That's like a side feature. Right. It's like people that play Red Dead Redemption because they really like the poker. That's a thing. Yeah, no, we got one here. That's fine. That is a thing that exists, but it's not what most people are playing it for.
That's fair. I imagine this will become a regular segment because this is only going to get weirder and more hilarious as the fact that Musk is not great at business or even understanding the web platform he purchased on a conceptual level, and keeps trying and failing to do wackadoo shit.
And is now kind of like the sole decision maker.
Right. Well, he does understand Twitter, but like he just has no social awareness or like understanding of what would happen when all of his like miracle policy changes would be put into place. Like,
right.
The internet is fucking undefeated, man. Like you don't get to just like do all the shit. You're never going to be a hero again. How about that? Like Elon Musk, you will never be the cool billionaire guy ever again. Like that ship sailed, what, like 5 years ago minimum? Mm-hmm. Like it's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter what you try to do. You will always be clowned on. So
I feel a little hesitant to bring this up, but because I haven't seen secondary verification on this yet, but I think SpaceX has bought a bunch of ad space on Twitter to make up for the fact that other advertisers are leaving en masse. And
right.
So we're already at that point. We're already at the point where the owner is propping up the foolhardy investment he made with his other monetary resources, and just that never works on any level. That's this sunk cost of doubling down is never going to work out.
Twitter is going to become the social media platform for Tesla employees. It's just the company intranet. Right. It's just ads for Tesla and SpaceX.
They pull a reverse.
It's just employees on there.
Yeah. They pull a reverse Facebook and like start wide and then like siphon it down to where it's literally just, like a company intranet essentially. And it's completely meaningless. Yeah. He fired a dude over tweet. You see that? That was fun.
Oh, yeah. That seems illegal.
Yeah, no, someone was like, or he was like, oh, wow, trying to get the mobile mobile app more optimized. Okay. Turns out that there's like thousands of web servers, all blah, 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 like quoting a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And then someone replied to him and was like, I've been working on Twitter for Android for 6 years now. None of that's true. Like all those figures are wrong that you just posted. And then like someone was like, As a web developer, like this is not the right forum to call out your boss. Like you're going to get a reputation, blah, 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 blah. And then someone was like, hey, Elon, like, you should fire this guy. And then someone was just like, and then he responded and just said like, yeah, he's fired. Like just straight up.
God, I cannot. Yeah. Emerald Baron Faelson making large business decisions in public. A recipe for disaster and hilarity, but also disaster considering, God, if we're counting contractors, it seems like thousands of people have been laid off at Twitter over the course of like 2 weeks, and good luck to them.
I think a lot of them have come out and said that they left, and then to save face, Twitter has listed them in the layoffs. Like that's why when you see whole teams getting laid off and everyone's like clowning on Elon, like he doesn't know how to run a business. Like he's laying off whole departments. That doesn't make sense. And it's like, no, they laid off half. And then the other half was like, fuck this shit. I'm not doing double the work for the same pay. I'm going to go get another job. Like, and then the whole department's gone.
Listen, is the scene in the Titanic where the quartet continues playing as the ship's sinking fantastic? Yes. If that were me, though, would I brave the frigid waters at an attempt of survival? Literally get off the sinking ship? Yeah, I'd at least try it. That's me. Can't blame people for getting out of there as, God, I'm a fucking idiot, and even I see this as a disaster in the making at Twitter.
It's also fun that, like, every time there's, like, a report on what's going on at Twitter, they have to say, like, we reached out directly to Elon Musk for comment. He didn't respond. As Twitter does not have a communications department anymore, there's no way for us to get this information without going directly to him. Because he fired everyone.
Yeah.
Somehow, more controversially, I guess people are mad about Dunkey's Sonic Forces video. But, like, what did y'all expect from him if you watch Dunkey's videos and at this point you don't realize that as a critic, he does not like any kind of unintentional friction in a video game, even if that friction is interesting, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is the reaction Dunkey was always going to have to any Sonic game, especially this Sonic game.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of the blowback, so I don't.
I haven't seen the video yet, actually.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, the video was fun.
Controversially, I think what was raising the most eyebrows is that at the end of the video, he compares the Metacritic user score for Sonic Frontiers, Forces is another maybe worse Sonic game, to other games, more critically lauded games, and the one that stuck out to me. Sonic Frontiers currently has a higher user score on Metacritic than Elden Ring, which is wrong. This is why voting is my least favorite part of democracy, because people collectively make bad decisions frequently.
Is Metacritic like Rotten Tomatoes, where like it's like a pass-fail, or are people actually rating it on like a scale?
Considering they are owned by my company now, I should probably have a more confident answer in this, but I believe people are giving full numbered scores. It is not pass fail like Rotten Tomatoes.
Because that's that, like, when that happens, people definitely like put the wrong value on things.
Right.
Like, how is Paddington 2 have a higher grade than fucking Saving Private Ryan? And it's like, because it's. That's just a percentage. Yeah, it's a percentage of people that said it's a yes or a no. It's not, yeah, this is a better movie on a scale. But also Paddington 2 is a masterpiece. So, I mean,
there is maybe a better man.
Paddington is a better man than who?
No,
Private Ryan?
It made me a better man.
Oh,
that was a very niche. Oh, God, what was the Nick Cage movie from last year? I can't even remember it now. Wait, was that this year?
Oh, yeah. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Wow. No.
Was it not?
I think that was this year.
Was it?
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. It says 2022. Yeah, April 2022.
Oh, it's on my list for this year. I don't know why I thought it was last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, look. Things are confusing.
Yeah.
Critics are dumb.
Memes are confusing. Especially Mario memes? What's happening here?
Have you guys seen this? Am I not alone? Okay, I'm just making sure. Oh, Andrew is not. Well, you're not like
I'm not on TikTok, so
TikTok boy. randomly this week, TikTok got taken over by these Koopa memes mm-hmm. where like everyone, it's one of those like acting challenges. They come up a lot on TikTok because every TikTok influencer just wants to be an actor.
100%.
And so basically the idea of the meme, what game is it from? Is it from the Wii Mario game?
I think it is Super Mario Land U or something. Like that. I believe Wii U. Yes.
In one of the Mario games, like when they do the theme song at the very end, you know, it goes ba 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 da 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 and like starts over the track. Whenever it goes ba ba, the Koopas do like a little dance, like no matter what's happening, like even if they're fighting you mm-hmm. currently and trying to kill you, they still like do the same little dance thing with their arms. So then it became a meme that like putting Koopas in more and more extreme situations with that music in the background. And then the music hits and they have to do their little dance. I think the one that probably got the most traction was like a Koopa in divorce court arguing for like yep. visitation rights with their children. And like the guy's like really like animated, like trying desperately to maintain contact with his children. And then it goes, bah, bah, and he gets all happy and does a little dance thing. And yeah. And then there was a bunch of like different versions that went all over. I saw one, a Demon Core reference. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Demon Core experiment craziness. Like back in like the 60s, a bunch of nuclear physicists like created a fucking fusion core that was basically held together by duct tape. And essentially the only thing, like they couldn't have these two things make contact. If they did, there would be a total meltdown and it would kill everyone. Yeah. And the only thing that was between the two things was like a fork. And sure enough, somehow the fork got moved and the things made contact and a bunch of people died. And it got named the Demon Core after that. And so, yeah, there was like a Demon Core reference where it's like a Koopa nuclear physicist, you know, holding two like radiometric isotopes apart. And then like, like when the music goes, he like starts to swing his arms and then the like feed cuts to like radiation, like there's nothing left. Chernobyl style camera. There was some good. That's a classic meme right there.
What is the Greek myth? Is it Sisyphus and the boulder? Andrew, you played Hades.
Sisyphus is the one that keeps pushing the boulder up the hill. I'm looking at the Demon Core. It happened twice.
That is fucking cursed.
Is that they didn't learn their lesson.
That is man's hubris on full display right there. Bye. The Koopa meme I saw organically before looking this up, and then of course getting spammed with other Koopa memes. Two Koopas on a spinning platform a la Fall Guys. And then just as they're about to get to the end, they have to do the dance.
Which pushes them back.
And then they're back at the start of the spinning. Yeah.
The dance is the stone and their atlas and the mountain, and they just keep they can't make it there because of their stupid dance.
Yeah. Good stuff. Great meme. I have a mixed bag of media to talk about in the breakouts though, and I can't wait to hear what y'all have. I finished Bayonetta 3. Perhaps the worst example of a woman really letting him hit it because he's goofy. Regardless of the like actual mechanics, the combat of this game, which I think varies from good to maybe a fundamental misunderstanding of what people like about Bayonetta combat, although there is a good spectacle factor. At the end of this game, this piece of media commits three of maybe my most hated tropes involving women in pieces of media. The first one is, Bayonetta ends up with a guy, the resident fuckboy of the series that had been in all of the games so far and just sucked, kind of undercutting a lot of Bayonetta's status as a queer icon. Not to say bisexual people can't be gay, Bayonetta 3 is not bi erasure, but it's just frustrating that really seemed like it was teeing up over the course of two games that Bayonetta had a girlfriend, and not the case. She is settling down with a man. And then the second she does, it is revealed that they have a daughter. There's some multiverse shenanigans happening here. But no, a woman's story can't end without her becoming a mom. That's like fundamental to the experience of womanhood. But of course, once she becomes a mom, Bayonetta is immediately iced and will now forever be off screen because, hey, she's a mom. That means she's not interesting anymore. Nobody wants to see that. And yeah, I'm still very angry about this. I still feel very bigly about the ending of Bayonetta and just such a fundamental misunderstanding of what everyone liked about this character and the themes established about this character in the previous games. The first game is literally about Bayonetta trying to fight for her identity, lifestyle, and right to exist by killing God and more importantly, her father. And how we go from that to the ending of Bayonetta 3, I'm not sure. Bayonetta 3's ending is something the bad guy from Bayonetta 1 would probably support. And that is... woof. I don't know how we got here.
Damn.
Yeah.
We looked
somebody
it up, right?
Somebody paid me to write about this.
A woman did make...
Nope.
Like, wrote Bayonetta 3? No? Oh, I thought we did.
All of them written by a man.
The same man or a different man?
Same man. This was his intent all along. This is a Game of Thrones level bad ending. Where I don't know if I can recommend, I don't know if I can go back to the previous games now, knowing this is what they were teeing up.
Damn. Fuck.
Not a fan. What are you guys checking out? Higher up on anything than I am, at least for Bayonetta 3?
So, I guess I'm not really fired up over this. I just feel kind of compelled to give my opinion. So the Dragon Prince, recently had its fourth season come out on Netflix, and I started watching it. I got through the first couple of episodes a couple days ago. And the Dragon Prince has always been a show that has been like, you know, trying to be what Avatar The Last Airbender was. I mean, it's mm-hmm. all the same people working on it, so that makes sense that it would have a similar vibe. But right. Whereas Avatar The Last Airbender was a show that was kind of like approachable by all ages, you know, it was a show for everyone, you know, serious enough that adults could get into it, where, you know, but it still was like goofy enough and not like super scary or graphic that kids could watch it. The Dragon Prince seems to be going for the same goal, but with, instead of, you know, fun for everyone as their approach, is like, there's a little something for everyone. So like in one scene, you'll have a child king going like, "And I declare jelly tarts for everyone." And in the next scene, brutal graphic murder. Mm-hmm. And in the next scene, like, goofy floss dance jokes. Like, people do the floss dance.
Wow.
And in the scene after that, cum jokes. Literal cum in my pants jokes. And it's not bad. I don't hate it. It just... I'm flabbergasted.
This seems to have like the narrowest demographic age window of any piece of media I've ever heard about.
Yeah.
Like, this is 12 to 15 year olds. That's it. That's all we're appealing to here.
I think that this is a show for people that watched Avatar The Last Airbender. No, I don't think this is really, I don't know how many young like kids are watching this. Because I don't really know, like, what would draw them in, other than, I guess, you know, oh, cartoon! It's got dragon in the name. That sounds like something I would like. Yeah. I think it's mostly for people our age, but, like, not really designed well for them. I don't know.
That is...
I'll keep watching it.
Please let us know what you is that going to make your top 10 TV shows this year?
We'll see.
All right. Ryan, what do you got going on? How's FIFA?
Oh, FIFA's great, man.
Yeah.
But no, I think main thing me and Angel are just rewatching through Game of Thrones. We're into season 3 now, which happened quick. Oh. So we're already near in the end of Ryan's time needing to watch every episode of Game of Thrones, which is pretty wild. I don't know. It's good stuff, man. Battle of the Blackwater still hits.
Yeah.
Still crazy shit. The gravitas of the moment when the wildfire fucking goes off like a nuclear bomb and destroys a whole fleet of ships is still very much like packing a punch, even after like the show kind of had to keep escalating more and more. That didn't like diminish the effect of that whole plot line. I don't know.
Did they run out of wildfire at some point? Am I remembering that correctly?
No, they never do. Because then the whole plot line, which I can't talk about because Angel's in the room, but there's the whole plot line with a certain person who does a certain thing.
I don't recall that being present in the final battle of the series, but maybe I'm misremembering.
The final battle of the final season happens like right after, what's it called? Not right after, but like what? Like maybe a couple months after this other major event that used a lot of wildfire.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think that they were out. I think it was just like they didn't have time to make more.
There were
out of it.
I don't know if you guys noticed it, but during that scene, like I don't think Angel can hear us, but
she can. You can talk open.
Okay. Like when Drogon's flying over King's Landing and burning it to the ground, you do see pockets of green explosions happening throughout the city. I think that was kind of like a, hey, remember they had that shit hidden everywhere? And they just like never got the chance to use it because they just destroyed the whole city instantly.
We try to fight fire with fire. Wildly ineffective. Fire is strong against fire.
Yeah.
Fire resists fire. All right. Good. Best of luck as you are entering the weird zone of Game of Thrones. Although that's oddly cohesive with my last breakout. Tactics Ogre Reborn, Let Us Cling Together. Very peak tactics game. Very fantasy medieval politics game. Within the first 5 minutes of this game, two different characters named Lancelot are introduced. And that's... George R. R. Martin could never... He would never be brave enough to do that.
George R. R. Martin wrote two twins that are both named Eric.
Yeah. I stand corrected. Maybe George R. R. Martin does have the cojones. The narrative, the story of this game is broadly appealing to me. Even if it is a little tropey so far, I feel like we are about to get further into the weeds of this fantasy medieval universe a lot more. Broad strokes, main character, player character that you are controlling, that you are organizing things around. He's only involved in this because about a decade ago, the Dark Knights trashed his village as a part of broader political machinations. And now that he has joined the rebellion to fight against this oppressive force, the Duke, who is supportive of his cause, has approached him and said something to the effect of, hey, man, this upcoming battle, this upcoming like mini war, mini campaign we're about to go on, we don't need like the Black Knight support. But if you could go to them and let them pay them off a little bit to not get involved, that'd be a big help to us. I know you're beefing with them personally because they murdered your parents, but if you could go talk to them and just not garner their ire in the coming battles, that would be fantastic. That'd be a big help to me. And I am very excited to see where that narrative beat goes. The combat, the gameplay is also terrific. I'm a big tactics head, and this is, oh God, just hitting it on every beat for me. I recently completed a fight with a necromancer, and this game goes full D&D rules when characters are downed, where there aren't saving throws, but you do have three turns to revive them. Otherwise, they are dead forever. What's interesting about zombie characters or undead characters, though, is that after you kill them, you have three turns to cast a purify spell on them. Otherwise, they get back up. And in this fight with a necromancer, I only had two characters who could do that spell. Both of them got taken out, and I had three turns to revive them. But I realized, like, they also had the revive spells on them. So they were just down, and now I'm in a situation where I had killed most of the undead enemies, but I have no way to keep them down. So I just had to bum rush this old necromancer man and hope that my remaining units could do enough damage to kill him before basically his entire army is back up, and then would have just stomped me. And that was very tense. That was very anxiety-inducing in a turn-based game.
Did you do it?
And appreciated so far.
Did you win?
It's probably going to get shelved when Pokemon comes out because, oh God, Pokemon is made for my brain chemistry. But yeah, enjoying it. Packers beat the Cowboys in overtime. Take that, Mike McCarthy.
Despite their best efforts, they did win in overtime.
Who'd have thought? Not me. Do we want to talk about how the Vikings are quietly elite? Or maybe not so quietly with how much Kirk Cousins is dancing?
I mean, the Vikings are kind of like the Packers were in 2019. They are winning a lot of games by a razor's edge.
Right.
Like, their point differential, despite being 8-1 at this point, must be very small. And I didn't call the Packers fraudulent in that season, so I think I'm not really allowed to say it for the Vikings this time around. But yeah, like, they are definitely good. Like, they're a good football team. They're probably not quite as good as their record.
That's what that game against the Bills was to prove, which of these two teams is actually fraudulent and which one might actually be good. And the Vikings won. So I think, yeah, Vikings at the very least less fraudulent than the Bills.
You know what?
Can argue with that logic.
Yeah, sure.
Sports, yeah, come to me, the guy who just went off about a tactics video game originally released in 1995 for your sports analysis. Is what I'm here for.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to win the division, and then they're going to get stomped in the divisional round by the Eagles, just like they were 5 years ago. Like, and I'm here for it. That's my prediction. That's okay. My analysis for this season.
Wait, the Eagles haven't had a loss yet?
No, the Eagles are undefeated, dude. Jesus, I mean, they play tonight. Christ. They play Monday Night Football against the Commanders.
I wonder how that one's going to go.
I don't know. We lost to them, too.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, good teams can lose to bad teams. Sometimes it happens.
The Commanders are all riled up right now. They're seeing a Dan Snyderless future ahead of them, and they're like,
push.
I want that.
Push.
I need that. All right. I think that is just about going to do it for episode 205 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost definitely be titled The Return of Fivey the Fox. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for highlight clips. ActBlue link in the description. Support us through the Anchor Podcast platform or on Patreon, where you can join the likes of Tiffany Cole, Sucky Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Follow us on Twitter at @V2_podcast. Follow me at Lucas DeRuyter on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing. For my 9 to 5, I'm doing an anime live stream now. If you are interested in that, which I probably should have shouted out at the top of this, but whatever, that Five of the Fox bit was too good. Yeah, that is on Tuesdays on Fandom's Twitch channel, Tuesday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific time. But thank you all for listening to this. Have a great week. And also, this is the last podcast Andrew's going to do before he's a married man. So look forward to that change, that shift in the vibes. All right. Goodbye.